Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, and I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 is how you call. That's how you text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Paying some bills real quick. We are going to be at El Tiempo on Washington on Friday to wrap up our summer circuit. Your last chance to register for a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. I think we're going to make the announcement as far as who wins next Monday on the Killer Bees. These next two games for the Houston Astros are big. Hunter Brown's on the hill for the Astros tonight against Tarik Skubal. And then tomorrow, it's Framber Valdez getting the mound, getting the nod. Do you know who he's getting the nod against? The man, the myth, the legend, Charlie Effin Morton, who is 8-10 with a 5.2 ERA this season. So not the same Charlie Morton we remember. He is 41 years old right now. Shout out to him, still pitching in his 40s. Probably the weak link in this Tigers rotation. I saw this posted by Adam Spillane, who I think is a great follow if you like Astros baseball, Rockets basketball. And it basically is this. Going forward, the Astros are going to have to win about 90% of their Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez starts. And what's unfortunate is Valdez has really struggled over the last month. And when it comes to Hunter Brown, it just hasn't been as dominant as it was to start the season. Now, if iron sharpens iron, going up against Boston, New York, and then Boston again should help out, but he had a pretty rough month of July. Cleveland touched him up for 6. Texas had 4 against him. He got chased from that game in Seattle after 4 innings. He allowed 3 earned runs there. It's not looking like it looked the first couple of months of the year where you had an argument to make he was the best pitcher in the American League. You could at least try to argue that he's better than Skubal, even if that wasn't actually the case. But now here you are, and it's a lot of pressure tonight on Hunter Brown, especially since this Astros offense isn't doing anything. So what's a realistic expectation for him? Unrealistically, I want him to throw a complete game tonight. I want him to do a Framber. Because Framber, we see that occasionally. But, you know, with where the bullpen's at, the bullpen has just been awful. Awful, awful, awful. And not just post-Josh Hader. We're talking about, really, since the All-Star break. Some of the numbers for the Astros since the All-Star break. Good God. 22nd in team ERA. 15th in starter ERA, because Brown and Valdez have not been themselves. 26th in bullpen ERA. Woo! Then throw the whole 685 OPS, 25th in home runs, 26th in runs scored deal on top of that. And you're like, how are they still in first place by a game and a half? Oh, because the Mariners keep on losing. A lot of pressure on Hunter Brown tonight. I think he has to go 7 innings. But being on the road, back in Detroit, pitching against a Cy Young winner, that earlier in the year you were in the same conversation as, there's certainly going to be a little extra pressure tonight. So hopefully Hunter Brown will be able to handle it. This is a very cool, calm, and collected guy for the most part. I remember some people were mad about that in Hunter Brown's last start because he wasn't getting mad about some sus calls and about Alex Cora being an obnoxious little troll. Hey, he balked! Hey, he balked! Shut up, Alex. Or whatever it was that Justin Verlander said about him back in the day. So, Astros, Tigers, tonight. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. A realistic expectation for Hunter Brown on the hill tonight. Framber Valdez gets the start tomorrow afternoon. First pitch in tomorrow's game will be in the midst of the Paul Gallant show. From the 281, the Astros are causing my specs bill to go up. That's fair. Very fair. From the 832, Brown, 6 2/3 innings, one run. Is that enough? That's where we're at right now because the Astros offense, which is a lot healthier and made those moves at the trade deadline, it's been pretty tough to watch. I'm taking a look at some of the stuff that we learned today at Texans training camp. It does seem like the Texans are closer to establishing a pecking order at wide receiver. Yesterday, we talked about how the discourse about John Mechie over the weekend after he was traded to the Eagles was a bit much, especially confirmed today by the fact that the Texans signed two wide receivers after trading Mechie for a tight end, Jawan Winfrey and Cornell Powell. So those two guys are in. Obviously, Nico Collins is the Texans' number one receiver. And I also say, obviously, Christian Kirk is up there. And from what we've seen recently, Xavier Hutchinson has that third spot, and that we will see Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll get in there from time to time. As far as training camp practice today, and I couldn't get out there because it was a little bit later than it normally is, the offense had a good day today, and Nick Caley had this announcement after practice. He's going to be down on the field calling plays this year. Interesting. So you're going to be in the thick of the action, but lots of potential for distraction.
Yeah, no, I think I like him.
I like him in the booth.
Up in the booth. I think the whole field.
If I were an offensive coordinator, I would probably stay in the booth. I think I would get a little bit too much ADD. You know, I would get caught up in what the defense is doing. And if I'm in the press box or wherever they are to call plays, I feel like I can put myself in a better space.
I'm probably you got the play sheet in front of you on a table. You can, you don't have to hold it the entire time.
Yeah. And I'd have a tablet up there, put Breaking Bad on in the background for a little comfort. So you could hear the play calls and you could also hear, you know,
Walter White. Tight.
Wait, is Tuco? That
Tuco Salamanca?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. Oh, delay of game. But on a serious note, I think I'd rather be up in the press box. I think being up in the press box helps you out a little bit more. That said, he's a first-time coordinator, and he's made his decision. So make the most of your last test run on Saturday when the Texans wrap up their preseason. Got to do it, big boy. Got to do it. Up next on the Paul Gallant Show, I want to talk a little bit more about the biggest move announced in the NFL today. Daniel Jones is going to be the Colts starting quarterback, not Anthony Richardson. Who is your least favorite group of stands in football today, August 19th, 2025? Since this faction, the Anthony Richardson must start, despite everything you see, faction has been vanquished. Thankfully, eradicated, killed. They're dead, and I love it. I have a massive pants tent over it. But who else sucks as far as stands amongst NFL fans? That's on the table. We'll do a little South Side as well. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros Tigers tonight at 5:40 in Detroit with Hunter Brown on the hill for the Astros, Tark Skubal for the Tigers. Houston looking to get back in the win column after an ugly shutout loss last night. They lost 6,421 and two-thirds to nothing. Major league record. We're not talking about it today as far as where I'm at with the Astros and their inability to score runs of late. I'm at a 4 out of 5 on the Nick Cage scale of freakout. 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5. That's close to the top. It's close to the top. Sorry to throw Sean on the spot like this, but we do like it when we get to play Nick Cage quotes on this show.
Somebody's going to kill me, man!
I believe that move is from... What's that movie again off the top of my head? It is from the movie, because there's so many movies with Nick Cage. I believe that is Vampire's Kiss. Could be wrong on that. Anyway, as far as the NFL today, Anthony Richardson is not going to be the Colts starting quarterback for week one at the very least. It's going to be Daniel Jones, who the Colts signed this offseason. For his part, Jones has handled the demotion pretty well. We will see how long Daniel Jones holds on to that job. I have hated a certain section of dorks online who have been fanatics for Richardson, who we've watched. If you follow the Texans, you saw Richardson in his first action against the Texans week one or week two of the 2023 season. He scored touchdowns on his first two drives. He gets hurt. You don't see him the rest of the year. End of the season, you see Gardner Minshew. Colts almost win that game. Texans win it. They win the AFC South. They beat the Browns. They go to Baltimore. The season ends. But we've seen Richardson since then, and Richardson has been remarkably inaccurate and also once on a third down subbed himself out of a game against these very Texans. But for some reason, there's a lot of people online who are over the top fanatics in defense of this guy. And these people have to eat it today. And I love that. Like this clown, Sam Block from ESPN. Richardson is younger than Shador. Richardson is younger than Will Howard. Richardson is younger than Dylan Gabriel. Richardson is younger than Tyler Shuck. Richardson is younger than Caleb Williams. Richardson is younger than Bo Nix. Richardson is younger than Michael Penix. And the Colts gave up. This is why the next generation sucks. These are the people that are a part of it. There is this idea that because you are young, you get to learn on the job for an indefinite amount of time. It's wild. It honestly goes against the idea of sports as a whole. If someone struggles and is young, you definitely give them some grace. But after a while, you know what a player is, or at the very least know what a player is in your situation. And sure, sometimes that situation can cause a player to fail. And it takes them a while to get that opportunity to succeed elsewhere. Some examples in my lifetime, Rich Gannon, when he finally got a crack with the Raiders, he won an MVP. Geno Smith with the Seahawks. Everyone thought that guy stunk. All of a sudden, he looks good. Sam Darnold last year. There's other examples. It happens for sure. But this is a league where you are trying to win at all times, because you do not know what tomorrow will bring in a league that is this violent, in a sport that is this violent. And there's this mindset that constantly I see from generally dorky people who just appear to me as if they've never played sports, that somebody who is young is entitled to more chances than they are due. And in a team sport, it blows my mind. Well, you got to see what this guy is. You know, it's not about the other 52 players on the roster. It's about making your situation the best possible for a quarterback that probably is not going to be the guy. And you do it based off of where these players are drafted. And it would be one thing if it were just a few people that had this mindset, but it's a lot. A lot of people who have opinions that matter more than mine when it comes to talking about football. I do think it's important to note that very few of these voices are ex-players. But there's this movement in the sports world towards, yeah, you just let the young guy do his thing. And whenever I think about it, I just think about bad parents. That's the first thing I think of. And I'm sure there's a lot of hippie parents out there and their kids a little bleep. And you're not supposed to say that, but come on. We all know at least one kid who sucks. A kid who is currently a child who sucks. And in the eyes of these very same people who were like, give Anthony Richardson a shot. He's young. You can't give up on him. These people would probably look at a young kid who sucks and say, well, he's just got to grow out of it. He might not. Actions are supposed to have consequences. Actions don't have consequences when you're a certain age. And I mean, I suppose you could point to our legal system and how we treat people who are 18 and how we treat somebody who is maybe 17 or 16 when they're not legally an adult. But this ain't that. This is talking about a profession where you're supposed to put the people who give you the best chance to win on a given Sunday on the field every week. It's always about that. So I'm glad that this faction is dead, that these people have to give up on Anthony Richardson. And now I have to turn my attention to another faction. And I'm wondering who it's going to be. Who is the most insufferable faction in NFL circles these days? Keith from LA texted in, Tom Brady stands are the worst. Huh, interesting. Kind of topical. I would agree. I mean, I do get pretty annoying from time to time. I hope you all know that for the most part, it's tongue-in-cheek and a bit. Every now and then, I can be honest about Tom Brady.
Yeah, defending him, the broadcasters, that's where it's like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah. And notice, whenever I defend him as a broadcaster, the explanations are awful. Just remember that going forward. Because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that he's got to work on as a broadcaster.
Yeah. I'm scrolling Benjamin Solak's Twitter feed for any good ideas.
One. All right, if you find
any
one.
Any good ideas that you would hate.
Let me know. 281, Justin Herbert stands. Yeah, that's a good one. Because I like Herbert. But I don't like him as much as I am told I'm supposed to like him. And it makes me kind of dislike him, you know? Quincy Avery's texting in. This is a sarcastic text. From the 832. I don't care if black players make up 90% of the league. It's racist that Daniel Jones is starting over Anthony Richardson. That's what he believes Quincy Avery would say. Honestly, I don't think Quincy Avery would do that
either. No, Quincy Avery had a tweet about it where it was like, everyone's defending Anthony Richardson with tape. I guarantee you this decision was not about tape. Basically saying Anthony Richardson isn't mature enough to be a starting quarterback.
That's the big problem for him.
Richardson, but he's young. He's young.
That's what's so funny, though. It's like, oh, he's going to figure it out eventually. No, he's not going to figure it out here. He probably has just figured it out. But now, what are the actions that you take to understand, oh, I took this for granted? Because that's the impression I get from Richardson, who does have a lot of talent. You know, in the case of Jamarcus Russell just didn't give a crap and let his body get completely out of shape. Richardson still looks like he's in shape at the very least. But he's very inaccurate, and he's very inconsistent. And on top of that, it seems like there's an extra element there. From the 281, is this the extra element? Race. It's all about race, always. Same with Shador. Well, Richardson never had Shador's cockiness. I think Richardson has a level of indifference that turns a lot of people that are close to him off. And the only people that really see it until he had that moment where he subbed himself out of a game are his teammates and his coach. And vicariously, Pat McAfee, who's connected with the Colts, who was constantly dumping on him last season. From the 832, the Shador Sanders stand camp is unbearable. But they are justified because he was drafted in the fifth round. I think that they are justified. Richardson, meanwhile, was a top five pick. And a lot of people thought it was a bit of a reach. From the 832, Trevor Lawrence. Oh, well, the funny thing with Trevor Lawrence is, I think that Houston as a city, when it comes to stands of Trevor Lawrence, we've been out for a while, partially due to bias, but let it be known, I was one of the first people that didn't really get it when I saw him at the college level, because I knew he had all the traits that you're looking for, but I thought he was not the most accurate, and I don't know. I never saw Trevor Lawrence on a football field and felt scared of him. I also will say I thought that Josh Allen was one of the worst quarterback prospects that I've ever seen because he had this awful game while playing with Wyoming against Oregon. That one game, I was like, this is the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback play.
It was awful for 2 years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it flipped.
Yeah, Josh Allen's like the flip. It's like the 1% outcome of when you draft Anthony Richardson or Anthony Richardson types or Trey Lance types of like, hey, listen, he's big, he's athletic. Let's see if we could teach him how to play quarterback. It's like Josh Allen's the one that it worked on.
Yeah, right.
Everyone else, it really kind of hasn't worked out yet. Even Tim Tebow, if you want to go all the way back, where it's like, hey, listen.
You won that playoff game. Yeah. Honestly, Tim Tebow, no one. And I'm joking.
Oh,
I'm
Tim
a Gator
Tebow
fan.
Stands, by the way. That's
Tim
also
Tebow
annoying.
Stands were awful. They were awful. I like the Gators in college. That's why I like Tim Tebow. That year was fun. None of it made any sense. I had him on my fantasy team in a 2-quarterback league, and I won a bunch of games in a row because of Tebow, so it made it even that much more enjoyable. Tebow's stands do have a legit case to say, like, hey, like it was BS that they replaced him after they did win one playoff game, but they also replaced him with Peyton Manning. So,
with the hurt neck, though.
Nearly headless Peyton. But 2 years later, he set the NFL record for passing.
Yeah,
passes, you know.
Tebow was younger, though.
That's fair.
Tebow was younger. He could have developed into that. We don't know.
This is on the table. Factions of NFL fans that you cannot stand now that Anthony Richardson's benching is probably the end of his time in Indianapolis as starting quarterback. Until Daniel Jones does something to screw that up. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Who's had the worst take in sports over the last week? You can nominate what you think has been the absolute worst. I've got some good ones. Ryan Clark's going to make an appearance. You've got some really bad ladies talking about sports takes. Oh, boy. These two in particular are very rough. We'll run through it. Worst Take Tuesdays next. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Did you have a bad take?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Don't listen to that guy. We love him.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
It's Worst Take Tuesday.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Every Tuesday at 2:30, we run you through some of the worst takes that I've seen either on TV or the internet in sports. Sometimes it's sports analysts. Sometimes it's randos. Sometimes it's athletes. Let's start with this from Ryan Clark. After yesterday, it was announced that the Browns will start Joe Flacco week one. Adam Schefter is going to make this sound like there's no way a bad take's coming. Just wait for Ryan Clark to step in. Goodness gracious.
To go with Joe Flacco. And the question isn't and wasn't going to be,
who's the starter in Cleveland. The question is, who's going to be the backup in Cleveland? Who's going to be the number two quarterback when they open the season against these Bengals?
I'm going to tell you what, man. Joe Flacco must have the faith of a mustard seed. Right, because this is mountain. Because this is the greatest resurrection since Jesus the Christ.
Right,
like
Ryan. And Ryan is someone that I've had interactions with online because sometimes Ryan is goofing around, but other times Ryan is being so serious in a way where it actually makes him more comical than when he's goofing around. You got to pick a lane, man. The pivot. We have these tough conversations about what it's like to be an athlete, blah, blah, blah. And then you're comparing Joe Flacco being Brown's starting quarterback again to Jesus the Christ. Okay. By the way, we're talking about the best resurrections since, you know, all Zeus, Jesus. Very unfortunate for Damar Hamlin to get snubbed once again. Snubbed for comeback player of the year.
By Joe Flacco.
Although,
maybe the voters agree that...
There's no voter fatigue for Joe Flacco over Damar Hamlin.
One, Jesus the Christ. Two, Joe Flacco. Three, Damar Hamlin.
Damar Hamlin?
And sorry, Damar, you came in the wrong era. Any other year, you would have won. Joe Flacco sucked so bad at the end of his career that him being merely just bad, by the way, he wasn't that good when he was with Cleveland the first time. Sorry, Damar.
Tough.
Hey, you know what?
To make world.
To make you feel better. You'll get half an episode of Hard Knocks. There you go.
Anyway. Ryan Clark, Worst Take Tuesday.
Ryan Clark, staple of this.
Especially in a world without Emmanuel Asha, someone has to fill the void, and it's going to largely be Ryan Clark.
Yeah, and he, has like several hours of podcasting and NFL live appearances.
I think he's very happy that it's NFL season so that people will remember him for his takes on football, which are not bad. But yeah. It's when he starts talking.
I mean, that one was very, like, it feels like it is one of these rounds because you heard Marcus Spears in there, too. It's like one of these studio shows, and he's waiting his turn, and he's like, I have a line that will go viral. Like, I have a line that someone will clip and make it a thing.
No one should have laughed at that, though. That was sacrilegious.
Just no sell it?
That was sacrilegious of everybody to laugh there.
I don't think Dan Orlovsky laughed.
No, I don't either.
I don't think Orlovsky was there, but I don't think he laughed.
The mustard seed line, too. Like, he was...
That's what makes it feel so, like...
Yeah.
It's like he, like, was setting up himself.
But I don't think he was trying to be funny there, and yet that's the only way you can deliver that line there.
Yeah.
It's, like, just to say it in such a comical way. Like, he's bringing up the mustard seed line from the Bible. Like, okay, man. More. Worst Take Tuesday. Brandon Tierney, who is a radio host in New York City at WFAN and seemingly is annoyed with Juan Soto, as are all Mets fans, because all Mets fans are annoyed all the time and the Mets are not playing particularly well, randomly decided to ask this question about Soto.
Now, most of you will not believe me. If you gave me a chance to put him on the Yankees right now for the contract he signed with the Mets or the contract that the Yankees offered, my answer would be now and will be forever, I'm good. Pass. I think he's great for the Mets. I think you got him at the right time. I think you needed that for all the things Sal and I talked about, perception, blah, blah, blah. I'm good. Now, I'm not good to the point where I'm feeling good about the Yankees team, and that's a Cashman thing. But 15 years of this, honestly, does he look 26?
There
does
it is.
He? No, I'm being honest. Like,
are you doing the old Albert Pujols?
I shouldn't even start this. This is going to get me in trouble.
But you already did.
But does he look 20? When you're 26, you still have a youthful glow. Does he look 26?
Yeah, but he's been in baseball for like 7+ years.
So
I got to give him a little bit more of a.
Well, so
remember when he came in, he looked a little bit more of a baby face. Now he's grown into his own.
Okay. I got it. I can't prove it. But listen, in my own mind, while I don't know for sure, I don't, I, I think that there's a good chance. I'm digging this hole deeper. I think that there's a chance, a good chance. He's not 26. I'll say it. Whatever.
I won't. Lie. I'm sure that there's plenty of baseball players that their ages are different.
Oh! Agreed. But we're talking about this one.
And height and weight as well.
Oh! WTF, bro. This is one of those funny things where you can talk about it from time to time, but you gotta have a pretty good reason to throw it out there like that. And Tierney wasn't joking around about it. I think he's just, I don't know how old he is. And I think he actually believes it, as opposed to just saying, like, oh, he's a Latin American player. He's probably 5 years older than he actually is, which a lot of people do that with.
Yeah, especially
thanks,
when you're
Danny Almonte.
Especially when you're good early.
Yeah.
When you're good young and then fall off fast, there's a little bit like, you know, if you shift the years around a little bit, it'll make a lot more sense. His career makes a lot more sense of, like, instead he was 19 in that World Series, like, oh, he was 22. All right. Still young, not crazy though, but yeah, I like the co-host there being like taking away from directly accusing a Soto. Like, there's a lot of guys I'm sure that are lying about their age, height and weight too.
By the way, Danny Almonte, 38 years old now. Do we know that's how old he is?
Yeah, wow. So he would have been playing against you.
Yeah, I guess so. He should have been, but he played against players that were younger than him. The WNBA, Worst Take Tuesday, had this to say when asked about a proposal that would quadruple their salaries. Here is just a random player whose name eludes me.
I think we can focus on our players in the union. We got a proposal from the league, which was honestly a slap in the face.
That's done. That's it. That's it. We don't need to hear it anymore. Slap in the face is quadruple. Come on. I want them to be likable. They are just doing such a bad job. There's just an entitlement that comes with them. And it's like, hey, listen, this isn't fair wage. This isn't, hey, I'm doing the same job as men. You are playing in a league that is significantly less popular than the men. And you got to stop coming off so damn entitled every time a microphone's put in your face. You have to. I don't know who is handling the WNBA's PR, but it just feels like every single time.
Well, it's like every player in the league.
Yeah.
They can't have a symposium where it's like, hey, everyone, shut up.
You know who does a great job of that, by the way? Caitlin Clark.
Well, because she doesn't say anything.
She doesn't say anything, but guess what? There's value in that. Angel Reese, Kelsey Plum.
I think that, yeah.
Anyway, quadruple. It's a quadruple offer. It's not a slap to the face. It's not what you want. You can say that.
Yeah, it's just like...
slap to the face, come on.
Yeah, we weren't satisfied with the offer.
Yeah, economy's not great. Like, what do you think? How do you think this?
Well,
is
their economy's awesome right now.
Yeah,
their economy's never been better.
The biggest GDP increase in history. Worst Take Tuesday continues. A man posted this on X, and it had to do with fall weddings. How do we feel about this one? The post. Hot take, dudes that get upset about fall weddings because they can't watch football are selfish and immature. Worst Take Tuesday. Is that a worst take?
I think this conversation's so played out. Like, everyone's a loser. Like, on one side, grow up and watch the game on your phone.
Yeah.
Because, like, realistically...
that is true.
Realistically, there's only one game that you're, like, actually pissed off you can't watch.
That's also
like,
true.
Like, very rarely is there more than one that happened during a wedding where you're like, damn, I wish I could watch my three favorite teams all play at once.
And you got to be really in a remote location to not be able to get it on your phone.
Yeah.
And generally, all these places, it's 2025, are going to have Wi-Fi. So theoretically, if you need to watch the game, you could probably figure out a way talking to somebody who runs who works at the venue to get there.
Yeah, and it could be a good, you know, find a little crew if we're all at one table watching the game. Like, chances are you're not the only person. But also, the other side of it is, like, it does suck. Like, you're allowed to complain about it. Yeah. It's just, like, we don't have to... It's the classic internet thing where it's, like, one observation where it's, like, man, it kind of sucks when you have to watch... And actually, when this conversation started, you couldn't watch games on your phone.
That's true.
And it's, like, it started... And then it snowballed to where, like, every year people have to, like, go extra hard on the hyperbole of, like, It's impossible. I'm not even showing up. My daughter be getting married in October, and I'm not going. It's like, guys, shut up.
Yeah, no one actually believes you.
Yeah.
And if we were to believe you, you would suck. So actually, yeah. That take might not be a bad one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Worst Take Tuesday continues. Astros Josh posted on X, the Astros now have 10 retired numbers, likely too many. Oh, not enough. Retire all of them.
I mean, they're going to have way more once all the 2017 and 2022 guys start retiring.
Altuve will. Verlander should. Bregman might.
Correa.
Correa might. Especially now that he's back. I'm definitely trending towards it's likely. After that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Jordan.
That's four. It's been 10 in what, like 60 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be four more in a decade.
Right. Let's see. Do we have any news on Jordan Alvarez? Nothing yet. Dang.
Oh, okay. If he comes back, retire his jersey. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
First time he hits a home run, retire his jersey.
What if he retires before they can retire his jersey? Damn. Worst Take Tuesday continues. Anyone see that clip of rookie pass rusher Abdul Carter getting put on his ass twice on the same play against the Jets? He's had a pretty good training camp. So, is this a reflection of who will be in the NFL? I don't know. But the video is pretty funny. You should watch it. He gets ragdolled a couple of times. Carter saw the highlight, wrote in a response, the two blocks might be the only highlight of the Jets all season. I mean, yeah, and it was making you look like a bitch, man. Like, come on. Yeah. You gotta handle an L with grace.
You just gotta be, hey. It happens.
It does. Yeah, it happens sometimes. It happens to every player on the field, specifically pass
rushers. People were pulling, because obviously, like, Cowboys fans were getting in on this. And, people were pulling up times where Michael Parsons gets put on his ass. It's like, yeah, this just happens, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
you Streisand affecting yourself, too, by saying, like, oh, it's going to be terrible for the Jets. Now you're going to have all these loser Jets fans in your mentions.
And part of it is, like, so many people watch football just not understanding football. Of just like, yeah, sometimes great players get put on their ass. Put it on their ass. Like, that just happens.
A Lions wide receiver said, quote, I'm one of the best players in the world, end quote. Sean, can you guess who?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
No, it was Lions undrafted rookie receiver Jackson Meeks, who had 11 catches for 176 yards and two touchdowns. Reminds me a little bit of former Texans undrafted free agent Dwight Jones, who said that he's the next Andre Johnson and retired 3 days later. But
that's bad.
Jackson Meeks actually had 11 catches for 176 yards and two touchdowns to this point this preseason. So actually, he at least is one of the best players in the world at football from the perspective of he might be in the NFL.
Yeah. Like, if you're in the NFL, you're one of the best players in the world at football. Like, that's not crazy to say.
But it does sound kind of wild.
I'm more okay with Amon-Ra St. Brown saying it, or I'll even give Jameson Williams. I'll even let Jameson Williams say it. Yeah, once you get like, yeah, I guess you are still one of the best ones, but it means a lot less.
Worst Take Tuesday wraps up with a couple of hot takes. Joy Taylor, remember her? The former Fox Sports analyst is trending. She fired back at critics who mocked the NFL for having male cheerleaders on the sidelines and said, so teaching kids that slavery was not a big deal is acceptable. But male cheerleaders is where conservatives draw the line. That seems to be a very false equivalence.
It's taking two things in the news and really, really pushing them together.
I mean, this is how you get clicks. So if she's starting a podcast, good luck, sister.
Doesn't work for Fox anymore. That's also what that tells me.
That is a wild two things to compare. And yeah, Fox is definitely not bringing her back. Definitely not. One last one. Josina Anderson posted this about Joe Burrow. One thing Joe Burrow is going to do is stick with the drive mentally, no matter what car wash he's going through to get to the end zone and still score. First off, Josina, and I hope you haven't learned this the hard way, when you go into car wash, you put the car in neutral. It's the first thing. I'm going to look this up. Josina Anderson car wash accident. Also, what?
Yeah.
That's really all I got. Josina. Josina Anderson, everybody.
I wish it would have started with, I'm told, one thing that
There is. She had started with that as the only way to make it more of a Josina Anderson post. Anyway, that is Worst Take Tuesday. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Let me tell you about my friends at Walmart really quickly before we dive into garbage time. Guess what, guys? Walmart, the Walmart you thought you knew, is now new. Who knew? I do. You do, too. They have more than half a billion items online. You can find a huge selection that you can't find in stores. Do you think groceries cost more when they're delivered? They might at some stores, but not at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in the store. And of course, because it's Walmart, you know the prices are low. Did you know Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour? They can. And if you use Express Delivery, you can get all sorts of things from Walmart that are eligible, from groceries to home goods and prescriptions as well. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. And remember, they've got more than half a billion items online. Order them online and they'll deliver it to you. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart.com. Sean, do we go to break or do we go straight into garbage time?
I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
A little Vulcan mind melt. We knew exactly what we wanted to do right there. So, guess what? 42% of people who go to Disney World and wait in line to meet characters. Can you guess what demographic they were a part of?
White?
Well, maybe. Childless adults.
Oh.
42% of people who asked for pictures with characters were childless adults. There's that many people going 40, to Disney World.
42 is a bit.
42%.
At least it's not the majority, but it's too much.
It's almost the majority.
It's too much. It's way too much.
Wow. Guys, you can now buy breast milk ice cream. Breast milk ice cream was released. And it's made by a company called Frida. Frida breast milk ice cream. Hard pass.
I have a...
Hard pass.
How do they... Like, I know how. I've seen Meet the Parents. But, like, how do you get enough to, like, sell this?
It's a lot of pumping. A lot of pumping. Yes, you're probably, like, mixing.
A lot of different peoples.
Yeah. So that also seems like that would be pretty disgusting.
It's funny when it's cows, it seems like, yeah, whatever, who cares. When you make it people, it all of a sudden...
Speaking of breasts, a woman went viral after getting arrested for destroying her ex-car by putting glitter in his air conditioning and salt in his engine. And the mugshot went viral because she might be moonlighting as somebody... who helps out at Frida breast milk ice cream on the family farm, the friendly family farm. She's got a lot. That's why she's going viral. I got to say.
I wonder what the guy did.
Probably nothing. You know? Thing.
No, I think.
Do you think maybe he made a comment saying like, hey, babe. You want to make some breast milk ice cream for me?
Yeah, side gig.
I found a how to on Pinterest that you.
Is there a recipe?
There's a recipe online, babe. Want to make me? Some
take
ice
this pump.
Cream?
1 second.
Take the pump. Yesterday I learned this because Vladimir Putin was in Alaska meeting with President Trump. Did you know that Vladimir Putin's bodyguards collect his number two and bring it back to Russia whenever he travels abroad? Yeah, seriously.
Why?
Great question. Apparently he's that secretive and he doesn't want anyone finding out what he eats, how he eats.
So does he...
What's in his system? If he maybe is dealing with some sort of disease, I suppose you could figure that out from
A,
from that.
Who cares enough? B, if you flush it, problem solved. that's
yeah,
C.
Who's going to collect that? Like,
C, how do you collect it?
Yeah, you just...
He has to do it on the ground, basically.
just a covert operation, like an Ocean's 12 kind of like setup where they have a toilet and the toilet actually goes into a box. And then they get, yeah, it's very, very paranoid. You think football coaches are paranoid. My goodness. Yeah, I forgot. World leaders, more paranoid.
Now I think he has something to hide. By the way, now I'm like, what's wrong with this guy's poop?
And on that note, poop. And on that note, it's been a lot of fun today. Hopefully the Astros don't lose like they did last night. 12,000, 2,500, 600 minutes to zero. Yeah, they lost to a team that scored in minutes. Anyway, subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to you, the listener, whether you are a caller or a texter or a YouTuber or a Twitcher or listened on the app or just listened. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.